This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm talking with beat reporter Charles Gardner. We took a layoff last week unintentionally, just kind of schedules got a little hairy and couldn't really find a time to get the podcast in. But we're back, and we have plenty of Bucks stuff to talk about. So, Charles, where should we start?
Well, there's been a lot of things going on, as you know, Matt, especially with Giannis playing the point. And point forward, point guard. Jason Kidd actually called him the point guard for one of the first times the other night. So
he's been staying away from that. He's been saying, "Oh, he's handling the ball. He's just a playmaker."
Right. He's a basketball player. We have all heard
all
that.
Those things.
Yeah, but I think he's the point guard right now, and will be for the rest of the season. And you know. Talked to Giannis in the locker room after the loss to the Bulls on Monday night, and he said, "Hey, I'm still learning it. It's not just natural to me." He said, "You got to remember, I didn't do this since I was a youngster in Greece, really on a regular basis. But you can see he's getting more comfortable directing the offense. It's still things you can imagine that any young player would have to learn, even if they had been trained as a point guard." But you know, at 6'11", he certainly has some advantages. Jared Bayless said last night, "Hey, you know, he can do things that normal size point guards can't do," and that's the reason the Bucks are looking at him there. And you know, 3 triple doubles in 7 games—that was pretty very impressive.
Well, Charles, let's put that into context because. That no one's ever had 3 triple doubles in Bucks history in that short of a period of time. It's never happened.
He almost had a fourth one. He was one rebound away against Minnesota.
Yeah, and no one in Bucks history has had 4 triple doubles in a season. Nobody. And Giannis had 3 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's just unprecedented stuff.
Yeah. And you know, last night he has a normal game. 12, 10, and 5, you know, we were getting used to it. We're like, oh, he didn't have a triple-double tonight. Yeah, Paul Gasol did, by the way, and with the points being the last part of it, which is really amazing. So that was kind of an interesting triple-double that we saw on the Bulls' side last night. But that game against Oklahoma City on Sunday, basically we had 3 triple-doubles, Durant, Westbrook, and Giannis. Durant had 8 assists. So he didn't get the official triple double, but as anyone who was at the game could tell you, he was the difference in the game, and he was just tremendous. So yeah, it's been a triple double week, but I think it shows Giannis's potential and how the Bucks view him, that he can play a lot of different roles, and I think. You know, he's really embracing this. He's trying to do his best with it. The other day, Oklahoma City kind of threw out a real big wrinkle, Matt, where they had, I called it a wall of defenders. Basically, they had 3 guys at the top of the arc, you know, top of the circle there, and they were not going to let him get in the paint. 2 guys hedged, 1 guy's guarding him, and, you know, teams are still wanting him to shoot the jumper. Obviously, Kobe Bryant said, hey, he's got to get the jumper. He's got to get in the gym, keep shooting. Kevin Durant said the same thing. So every superstar that comes in to Milwaukee is evaluating Giannis and saying, hey, he really looks good, but he's still got to work on that jumper.
And it just underscores that every team that faces the Bucks looks at Giannis and says, all right, It's really hard to defend this guy if he's driving, if he's in the paint. He just has too many moves. He's too long. He's too quick. You know what? Just keep him out on the perimeter because he can't make shots with regularity.
Right.
And that's gonna happen until he proves that he can. And when he proves that he can, like Kobe and KD said, he's going to be a pretty scary player.
Oh, he is. And, you know, to his credit, he's trying. He airballed one in Chicago last night. You know, he's trying. It's just the results, you know, it's erratic, whether he's making some or he's just missing them all from the perimeter. You know, it can go either way. But on the other side of that, Matt, I don't know if you saw the poster dunk over Ibaka.
Oh, I did. Oh, okay. I definitely did.
I thought you saw it because yesterday I went to lunch in Chicago before I went to the game and the sound was down. I was having lunch at Geno's East, which is one of my favorites in Chicago, by the way. But anyway, the sound was down on a huge screen, you know, one of those huge TV screens. And I was watching Rachel Nichols' new show, The Jump, with my friend Brian Windhorst was in there. And but of course, I couldn't hear him. But then they talk about all kinds of NBA issues, and they went to that dunk and they must have replayed it 8 or 10 times. I wish I would have heard what Brian said about it. You know, I'm sure it was funny. But here it was, Giannis. So I'm watching this in big screen again. And, you know, when I saw it live the other day while I was covering the game, I said, oh my gosh, Ibaka on a poster. And I actually talked to Jason Kidd about it a little bit, and he said, yeah, you know, we were talking about it. He said, you think about a dunk, but you don't think about Ibaka having that done to him, you know, because he's such a great shot blocker. So that made it more impressive, but quite a dunk if you've seen it.
Yeah, well, speaking of friends at ESPN, people you know, Zach Lowe just, I think it was today, put out his you know, his list of the most watchable and entertaining players. You know, obviously, he takes out the superstars and things like that, just guys who are fun to watch. And right. he had Jabari Parker as one of the top five guys that he enjoys watching. And he was definitely not referring to Jabari Parker at the first part of the season. It's more post All-Star break Jabari because of the way that he's essentially, offense is starting to click. He's driving. He's dunking everything. He's starting to add in. He's peppering in that jumper that he's been working on. You know, it's not totally there yet, but it's better than Giannis's. And you know, he started to shoot the three a little bit more, and just seemed like the lights came on. And Zach Lowe actually brought up a point that I'd been thinking about, and as I've been kind of following the team both in person and from afar, it just seems like the Bucks have reached this point where, you know, the record is what it is, and the fans kind of know what's going on right now, and they've gotten past the disappointment of the team not being where they want it to be, and they see Jabari and Giannis doing the things that they want to see them do, and that's all they care about.
Well, I think you're right, Matt, that's a big part of the end of the season here. If that wasn't happening, I think there'd be a lot more angst among the fans and among management, ownership. You know, I interviewed Wes Edens for Sunday's paper, and he was obviously elated about the way Jabari is playing and the connection between Giannis and Jabari. And he mentioned that, said that, you know, this is really something that they wanted to see. And, you know, he said, when I'm not watching the team live, when he's not in his courtside seats, he was on Sunday for the OKC game. But Wes told me when he's not there, he said the first thing, he said, I want to turn on that television set and see how that connection is looking. You know, he's interested. He can't wait to turn it on and see what Jabari and Giannis are doing. So that is important. And I think now what you have to look at is, okay, that's all good, but now what are the pieces around them going to be when you go into next summer and next fall? That's going to be the critical part, because we all know the bench has struggled mightily. They haven't had, you know, there have been injuries. I'm not discounting injuries. They've been huge. Henson, Vasquez, Bayless, we can go down the list. Bayless had another good game last night, 5 threes, and has been kind of the bright story off the bench. But there haven't been too many, Matt.
No,
off the bench. As we know, John Henson, you know, now he's missed into the teens in games here. I'd have to look it up. I think it's 16 or 17. There is talk that he will be back fairly soon. And I think, they really need to get him back in there. And I think there's some hope that Vasquez also will be back. You know that Vasquez wants to play because he's in a contract year and he desperately needs to at least get back on the court, you know, so some teams can take a look at him for next year. And fortunately for him, unfortunately for the Bucks, but fortunately for Grievous, if he does come back, I think he will have a chance because now MCW is out. You know, I thought for a long time, well, Grievous is going to try to come back and how's he going to play? You know, they're going to have MCW. They got Giannis playing the point.
And they've got Bayless, who's already solidified himself as one of the strong players off the bench.
Right. So now that situation may be changed a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if and when, you know, he can come back. So, but I think going back to my point, it's that how do they structure now the rest of the team around these guys, Giannis, Jabari, Chris Middleton, who's had a great season, and you know, where does Monroe fit? He's been coming off the bench. Even though Wes Edens said in my interview, he's 100% as advertised, quote unquote. So, you know,
well, I mean,
his numbers have still been good. Obviously, the defense has been an issue. But again, how will that, what will happen with MCW now after, I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit. Matt, about him having surgery on his left hip, story that we got yesterday, story that was breaking actually as I was on the train coming down to Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, obviously context matters, but when you say that Greg Monroe is 100% as advertised, you know, that's positive and negative. I mean, it means he's a really good offensive player who doesn't help your defense. That's what he was, and that's what he is.
Yeah, and but I, you know, I think Wes is saying, hey, for everyone out there thinking that it's a total disappointment, he doesn't view it that way, and and I think that's why there weren't any big moves made at the deadline. If you listen to what Wes said, he was saying we want stability, we want continuity, we don't want to panic and blow things up when we're still building things. And that was some of the reason, he was saying that there weren't moves made. I think one thing you saw at the trade deadline was other teams were interested in Bucks players, but, you know, they wanted Middleton or they wanted players that, you know, the Bucks did not want to give up.
Yeah, and we discussed that at length for a while there at the trade deadline,
right?
And it just didn't make sense at the time. And you know what? As the salary cap goes up this summer, and you know the draft comes around, and you know there's teams that have picks and teams that have excess players, teams that have just money to spend. You know, that's a good time to listen to what they have to offer if there are offers coming in, and you figure out what's going on, and you also look at the free agents. Because the Bucks are going to have money to spend too. I mean, that's part of the cap going up. And so they have the opportunity to look.
And they have expiring contracts.
Yes.
So you're going to see new players coming in to surround this core. And it'll be interesting to see. And what I'm saying is those decisions are critical. Some of the decisions made last summer, you know, really haven't turned out. When you think about Vasquez for a first round pick, hasn't turned out. He's been injured and he hasn't been a contributor, and it was a protected pick from the Clippers, but it's a first round pick. So they're going to want to make those moves count. Those moves are very important when you're trying to build around these young emerging stars in Jabari, Chris, and Giannis.
Yeah, and speaking of those three, I don't think they're there yet, but I think at some point in the future, those could be the bargaining chips to saying to a free agent, hey, you know, Milwaukee, not traditionally a destination for free agents. Obviously, Greg Monroe was the exception. But in the future, you say, hey, we have these three young guys. They're under contract. They've been here for a long time. You know, this is why you would come here. You want to join these guys.
Well, and remember that Monroe said when he came that Jabari was a big reason. And I remember I thought that was interesting at the time because Jabari had been hurt. And you know, we had no idea really when he was coming back. We thought he was coming back pretty early in the season, which he did. But you know, Greg believed in that. And be interesting to see, you know, if he still does when he has his player option, you know, coming up not next season, but the following season.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, with talking about Monroe, I know you talked to him, what was it, yesterday, about his role and how much of an adjustment that's been for him. What's the update from Monroe?
Yeah, Greg basically said that what he's been saying, he said, look, I'm going to play my minutes. I'm getting my minutes. This isn't bothering me. He's been coming off the bench. I think now for 12 games, the Bucks are 6-6 in those games. And MCW also went to the bench, although we know he's missed now the last five games and now will miss the rest of the season with the hip surgery on Thursday. But I think Greg was saying, yes, you know, it's been an adjustment for me, not so much for me, but he said for the whole team, because guys' roles change, guys are playing with different people. So he said, hey, look, it's not just me, it's about the whole team adjusting. And he also pointed out, not just adjusting to when he comes in the game or his role, but also Giannis with a completely changed role. And so, you know, players have adjusted to that. It's been a big payoff. Obviously, it helped Jabari. It's helped other players. The Bucks have looked smoother on offense with Giannis playing that, even though he's still learning it. So, but I think what Greg was saying is, look, there have been a lot of adjustments, and now there will be some more because you won't have, in these final 18 games, you won't have Michael Carter-Williams playing. And he was averaging almost 12 points a game, averaging 11.6 as a starter and 11.4 off the bench. So his production really wasn't so much different off the bench than it was as a starter. And remember, Kidd had said, hey, you know, we're looking for Michael to score off the bench, especially in his bench role. I think that's what Kidd liked about him coming off the bench, was he provided some points. If he was in that starting unit, they didn't need the points as much, you know, in a weird way. So there'll be some more adjustments. And, you know, you can see that in these close games, you know, it's very tough for Kidd to go deep on the bench because he's got inexperienced guys there. He's got Rashad Vaughn, Tyler Ennis, Johnny O'Brien. And I asked him about that before in the game last night, and he said, hey, these guys got to play. I got to, you know, I think it was him telling himself, hey, I got to play them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's him saying, I got to play them no matter what. But again, last night, they didn't play much, you know, because it was a close game, and they are trying to win these games. So, you know, I think Tyler Ennis played 7 minutes in the Oklahoma City game and had 3 points. But it will be interesting to see how the bench is used at the end of the season here.
Yeah, and with MCW going out, you know, and being out for the season, does that offer the Bucks any respite to try and add some guys on 10-day contracts to check them out and maybe add something to the bench?
Well, I think at this late stage, I'm just guessing here, Matt, but I don't think so. I mean, and I think, you know, the roster, they have 15-man roster. So, you know, again, they would have to release someone. Steve Novak's on the roster now. He can't play. So you have, you know, their injury luck here lately, you have to say. You know, I don't like to get into saying injuries are the reason for bad play, because I, you know, you hear that. Mm-hmm. But when you see Steve Novak is out, MCW is out, Hanson's been out all this time, Vasquez, that's a lot of players. I mean, think about Steve Novak. They brought him in just to give that bench a boost, and it looked like he was going to do it in the limited time he played, 19 minutes. He was He said he was feeling great, he told me. He's, you know, he was providing something that they needed. He hadn't even heated up yet, Matt. You know, he was...
he was barely there.
Yeah, he hadn't even got that three-point shot going, but it looked like it was... He told me, he said, Charles, I've never felt so good. And then for that to happen to him, and he has a left knee sprain, and he's out for the rest of the season. This has been like... the way it's going, you know, you just shake your head. You're like, you're kidding. They just got this guy in to kind of give the bench a little boost, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't, you know, they have 15 on the roster, and I don't expect really at this stage. They're going to go with these guys, and, you know, they're going to do their best. I know Jason said last night, something about, you know, he was disappointed in the defense. They get very close at the end of the game. They're down two again. And then they just, you know, they missed Dunleavy on a wide open three. And he was very distraught about that, saying we have to get that communication, that coverage. And he said, you know, he kind of hinted at it. He said to start, you know, guys are playing a lot of minutes, but we still have to defend in these crucial situations. So, you know, he's wishing he wasn't playing these guys as many minutes as he is.
Right. I mean, because, you know, obviously a lot of those guys are young and they can handle it in terms of, you know, the physical wear and tear. But you still don't want to be putting those miles on when you don't have to, especially when it's a trial by fire still for a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. And remember, the first season here with Kidd and his staff, you know, he likes to play more players. You know, he's not a guy who's going to just stick with those starters and run them into the ground. That's not his mode. But he's been forced to do that a little bit this year because of the injuries and, let's face it, and the mediocre play from the bench. So that's not the way he prefers, but that's been the way it's been this year.
Yeah, so the last thing we'll touch on, you alluded to it earlier, is MCW and his injury and what the future might hold. We asked on Twitter for questions, and that was one of the the ones that I got. And, you know, just what do they do with him? In terms of, do they draft a point guard? Do they trade for one? Do they sign one? Or do they stick with Michael Carter-Williams coming off this injury and going into the last year of his contract?
Yeah, very interesting. Now, I mean, I think something to remember, he is under contract. He's on the rookie scale contract.
So he's owed $3.1 million next season since the Bucks already exercised the team option for him for next season.
Right. So he is not an expensive option. I could see him coming off the bench next season. And, you know, I asked Jason about that last night, but that's not something he's really going to talk about at this point, and I'm sure they don't know yet. But, you know, he said, hey, I'm worried about the Bulls, and I'm sure he was. But I mean, it's for us to kind of think about and talk about, and I'm sure the organization is thinking about it also for the future and how they want to approach it. And, you know, maybe this time off and getting the surgery, and, you know, MCW was saying, you know, there was some talk that he had had this injury and was playing with it for a while. So I don't know the extent of that. But I do know that he hopes to be back. You know, the Bucks said yesterday they believed he could be back in 3 months after the surgery on Thursday in Colorado. So if that's the case, then he would have the whole summer to get ready. And, you know, I just think it appears to me that he had two bench stints already this season, that if he does come back, you know, they see him as a valuable asset off the bench, not necessarily as a starter. And of course, that wasn't the expectation when he came here. That he was the rookie of the year. But, or do they go and make a trade? You know, there was talk about Rubio at the trade deadline. There were talk about other guys. Do they, you know, look for someone? They obviously need another ball handler, I believe, and they need another shooter. And as we talked about before, Matt, you know, those expiring contracts are guards. Who are the expiring contracts?
They got Mayo, Vasquez.
Mayo and Bayless. They're all expiring. So those guys, you would think, won't be back. Maybe Bayless, because, you know, Kit really values his contribution to steady play. Could they get him on a contract again? Possibly. But, you know, so I think you have to look at that and say, hey, there's going to be a new backcourt look. Rashad Vaughn, he's 19 years old, and on the rookie deal, he's going to be back, most likely. But beyond that, then I think you're going to see some big changes. But you've got Giannis and Chris now. That's your starting backcourt.
Yeah, and if that's what they're going to do, then that would relegate
but that's your blow, man.
That would relegate, you know, MCW to the bench, which makes sense. But I mean, in terms of the draft, obviously the things that the Bucks were looking for last year, size or a shooter, they're still looking for.
Same things. They still need shooting.
I think shooting is definitely a premium and something that I would expect that they would look for in a potential draft pick. I mean, right now they have the 10th worst record in the NBA, so that puts them at the number 10 pick if everything in the lottery goes exactly as, you know, the percentages would play it out. And then they also have 2 second round picks, and they're both before number 40. So you're looking at guys that, you know, had good college careers or, you know, have done something when you're looking at players in that range. So you can find shooters. I mean, there's definitely shooting available in the draft at the top and in the middle of the draft that they could try and find and use and inject into the team.
Well, you know more about these collegians, Matt, than I do. That's something that I don't get to watch as much college basketball as you do. So you probably know, you know, if there will be some.
Oh, yeah. Well, right.
Guys out there that will interest them. Obviously, they've been scouting and looking at guys the whole season, and their scouting department, Dave Babcock, all those guys, they do an incredibly thorough job. Billy McKinney, all those guys. And, you know, they're out there watching all these conference tournaments. John Hammond, the general manager, he beats the bushes as well. You know, Dave Dean, the whole staff there. Really works that on almost a year-round basis.
Yeah, and this is kind of splintering from where we started from, but if you wanted to look at, you know, a shooter in the draft who the Bucks could take near the top, I mean, right now, I don't think it's updated. Draft Express has them at number 9 in their mock draft. I think they'd be 10 if they actually were doing that today. But they haven't taken Buddy Hield, who's going to be one of the top 2 contenders for National Player of the Year, averaging 25 points a game and shooting 47% from 3-point range.
Would he drop that low, man?
I think so, because he's a senior.
So
when you have seniors like that, you know, teams are like, well, you know, we get less time with him, you know, and he's closer to his possible ceiling. But I mean, as a one of the 2 front runners with Denzel Valentine from Michigan State for National Player of the Year, I mean, he's you know what you're getting, and he
is a shooter.
Yeah, he's not necessarily a point guard. You know, he's more of a shooting guard. He's kind of like a Chris Middleton type, but man, he can shoot the lights out. And, you know, 6'4", you know, so a little bit shorter than Chris Middleton, but you know, 22 years old. And kind of, you know, can fit right into the core of the Bucks. You know, and that's at least what you know, where Draft Express has him right now. So, you know, looking at a guy like that, right, you know, he would definitely
be real interesting.
He qualifies, that's
he
for sure.
Be very interesting to the Bucks. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and so, you know, that kind of goes back to it. So, you know, you could draft somebody like that who could help you in as a guard, maybe not a point guard, you know, in terms of MCW or who the Bucks are going to have, but that would definitely help their backcourt and their shooting. I don't know. I mean, you and I were talking about this before. You know, trading for a point guard seems kind of dicey, you know, just because there's plenty of them around, and, you know, it doesn't seem like there are a lot that are of the really good ones that are in the Bucks kind of, you know, in their price range.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
or
we talked about Rubio. He's making $14 million, but you know, the funny thing is that contract's going to start to look good.
Oh, sure. Sure. When the gap goes,
as these contracts go up here and the TV money comes in. So it will be real interesting to see, you know, what direction they go, you know, with that. Very, very interesting. That'll be one of the areas I'm sure that people will look at in the summer.
And I wonder I wonder which free agent point guards would want to come to the Bucks, knowing that they want Giannis to play that position. And so it would have to take a certain player to say, all right, I know that I'm coming into a situation where they want to grow the 6'11 guy as the point guard, and they want me to kind of come off the bench or help in whatever way I can and play a specific role. You know, that when you narrow down the search to those parameters, I think in free agency, like, it really takes a specific guy, and I'm not really sure who that would be, you know, but you know, you're definitely not fishing into a well-stocked pool at that point.
Well, it's interesting. And remember, we said last year when they made the trade, Brandon Knight and MCW came along, and the Bucks did it in part so they could sign Chris Middleton to the max deal, the 5 years, $70 million. And so far, that looks like a good move, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That they went for Chris and not for Brandon. I mean, I think that was certainly, but it caused some problems on the point guard end. And not to say how Brandon would have done had he remained, he might have done tremendous. You know, he's, unfortunately for him, he's been injured a lot in Phoenix. And, but so it's hard to know how that would have gone. But remember, we said what they were doing was they weren't paying a point guard big dollars. They had MCW on the rookie scale deal, and they were going to evaluate. And of course, they were hopeful that he was going to be a superstar. But
oh yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
Sure, that's what they were hoping. But if that didn't happen, they still had options, and we'll see what those options are this summer. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, so I think that that wraps up everything we wanted to talk about for this week. Got a couple games coming up, a couple home games against the Heat and the Pelicans coming up this week, and then tough back-to-back for you heading to Brooklyn on Sunday.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting week. They'll have Anthony Davis, you have the Heat. The Bucks are only playing the Heat three times this year. They've split the first two games, with each team winning the away game. The Heat won here. The Bucks, you know, won in Miami fairly handily in January. And so this will be the last meeting. And, you know, the Heat are one, to me, that's one of the surprise, you know, teams. You wondered, Wade was getting older. You wondered how they were going to do. And, you know, they're 11 games over 500. They won five in a row. So they've really had a nice season. Now they've signed Joe Johnson. He's going to be in the starting lineup. So, you know, they're being serious. And even with Chris Bosh going out with the blood clot problem again, they've still maintained, I think they've won seven out of their last nine. So you got to give them a lot of credit. It's a winning franchise. They had a down year last year, and they just don't let that keep them down. And you got to give them a lot of credit. And then New Orleans, obviously, it'd be fun to see Anthony Davis, who had a big game last night as he went up against Boogie Cousins. And I think Cousins had 40 and Davis had 31 and 10. And the Pelicans got the win. So that'll be their appearance in Milwaukee this year.
Well, and I'm pretty sure Anthony Davis, he has a ton to play for individually. Because if he makes an All-NBA team, he'll get $23 million.
That's right. He's got that clause in his contract,
which is an incredible clause. You know, obviously, that's a huge chunk of money, and if he can, you know, obviously, usually all NBA guys don't come from teams that are as bad as New Orleans, you know. But if he can, you know, and he didn't have a great first half and didn't make the All-Star game and all that, but if he can really, you know, turn things up.
Yeah, and he's been playing pretty well. They've had a tough season also, but they beat the Bucks in New Orleans in a pretty close game. So we'll see how it goes here on Saturday. And then, as you said, last trip to New York, Sunday against the Nets, and then they're home again. So a lot of home games still. Matt, only seven road games left for the Bucks this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we will talk again soon, and good luck on your trip with Marquette to the Big East tournament, and we'll be talking again real soon.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this week for the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. As always, you can get the latest podcast either online at jsonline.com/bucks in the Bucks blog, or the easiest way to get the latest edition is to subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher. And that way, once it gets uploaded, it's right into your phone or your tablet and ready to go. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.